I'm going to read you one passage of scripture. I told you last week, Sunday, I'm going to start with a series, and the series is called Resurrection. It's based on largely a part of my life, some of the journey that we've been through, my wife and I, the last 2-3 years in our lives. And the whole purpose of this series is to help you understand where God fits in the unfairness of life. Where God fits, where does your faith and where does your Christianity become relevant when times are tough and when things happen that you didn't see coming? When you are caught off guard by some tragedy or some disillusionment in your life. If we are not careful, especially as people of, you know, some of you are of, you know, Pentecostal background. I'm an AFM boy. Others of you are from the charismatic background. Some of you are, you know, in here, Methodist, whatever. So you will not quite understand when I say Pentecostal charismatic, but in the Pentecost charismatic circles, faith was preached to us many times as a preventative thing. That if you have faith, then you will bypass the storm. Or when you have faith, you will not have no storm. Or when you have faith, the storm will subside very quickly. And if we're not careful, we can grow disillusioned in our faith. Because what I have learned in life, in the short while that I've been here, is that faith is more about endurance than it is about rebuking. And if we can allow God to take us through the process that we sometimes need to go through, we will be such enriched people and such strong people at the end of the day. And so this is what the series is all about. And we're going to read John 12, 24. The series is starting today. For those of you that missed last week's Sunday, it was an incredible Sunday. And I ministered on I'm No Cave Dweller. So for those of you that missed it, you can just listen on podcast. Remember, all of our sermons are on podcast. Just download the app on your phone and search for Farney Brill of Christian Life Church, and you can listen to our podcast every week. Every sermon is there. John 12, 24. I'm reading from the New International Version. Truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. This passage of Scripture tells us that if we allow death to do its thing, to work its process in our lives, we can benefit from it. Nobody likes death. And I'm not talking about physical death. But you know, somebody one day said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know? We all want the benefit of life. We all want the many blessings and the many leveled blessings that God has for us. But many of us also refuse the process that goes with that. And many of the enrichment that God wants to bring to our lives, many of the great things that we are praying about and that we are trusting for, that God wants to bring to our lives, it's going to pass through an avenue called death. And if we resist death, if we refuse death, we create our own lack then. And we cannot become the enriched people that God wants us to be. And in this series, I want to talk to you about the Paschal Mystery. And the Paschal Mystery, Paschal is related to Easter. And you know that as Christians, we celebrate Easter every year. And Easter, you know, has got these five phases. The first phase is the death of Jesus. That wasn't Good Friday. And then we have the resurrection. And then that was Sunday. And then we have the 40 days that Jesus was still on earth before his ascension. That's phase number three. And then we have his ascension going up to heaven. And then phase number five is Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this series is about that. It's about the Paschal mystery. In other words, how can we relate our lives to those five phases that Jesus went through? There are even scriptures in the Bible where Jesus said, if you can share in my sufferings, you will share in my glorification as well. You will share in my resurrection. And we never really grasped it. We never really understood it. In some church circles, we preach against suffering and we preach against heartache and we preach against, things that mess us up. But it doesn't matter how much we preach against it. It's part of life. It comes with the territory. If you don't want to go through hurt on earth, go to heaven. Because it comes with the territory. For as long as you're going to be with the rest of us on this planet, you're going to face moments of trial in your life. You're going to go through the fire. You're going to pass through the flame. You're going to find those waves and the wind, and it's going to mess with your faith if you're not careful. It's going to try and mess up your relationship with God if you're not careful. And I really believe that we can be such better people and such better versions of ourselves if we can begin to understand how to fit God into our journey and how God wants to fit even things like suffering and heartache into our Christianity and into our faith. If we can allow Him to do that, we will be such enriched people. You know, people of great faith are not people who have no storms. People of great faith are people who've been through their storms and they know how to interpret life after the storm. That's really people of great faith. And you can be an incredible pillar of hope and strength for so many people in your lifetime if you can only stop complaining about what you're going through and start to see the bigger picture. And this is what I trust that God will help us with in this series. Everybody say resurrection. The Paschal mystery is the mystery of how we, after undergoing some kind of death, receive new life and a new spirit. That's what the Paschal mystery is all about. How you, after undergoing some kind of death in your life, where you receive new life and a new spirit. And in our lives, we will encounter several deaths. In your lifetime, you will encounter several resurrections, not only one. And I know that, of our Christian faith, we say you need to be born again. And so in our minds, we only see one death and one resurrection. But in your life, you will have many deaths in various areas of your lives and many resurrections. For instance, we had little Jaidi here this morning. And right now, he's a baby. The first death that's going to come in his life is the death of the baby phase. And then he's going to become a toddler. And after the toddler, he's going to die to the toddler phase and he's going to go to the young child, or I don't know what we call it, but the young child phase, the phase that's waiting for Danny and Annie is the terrible twos phase. And I know we all resist it, and we also, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it. Until they too, we realize it's a reality. And then the little Jaidi, he's going to be in preschool. And then the next death that's going to come is the preschool death. And he's going to go into a primary school. And he's going to be in grade one and grade... And so he's going to carry on. And then the death phase of primary school. And then he's going to go to high school, secondary school. And there's a death over there. And with every death, there's a resurrection of the next new phase that you're entering into. And every time that there's death and resurrection, there is also a period of grief and a period where you have to adjust to the new thing because the new thing has got no resemblance to the old. And this is hard for us as humans because we like predictable and we like things to stay the same because we want to be able to control things. We want to control life. Some people even want to use their faith to control life. And I'm here to tell you, you cannot control life. You can only manage it. And somebody once said that if you cannot control the wind, the only thing that's left to do is adjust your sails. And this is kind of how we deal with life. You know, I cannot necessarily control what's going to happen tomorrow, but when tomorrow happens, then I've got God with me in my journey. And if through His wisdom and through His Holy Spirit, I can learn how to adjust my sails to this wind that is coming from a direction that I didn't even anticipate. I didn't know that this wind was going to blow so strong. I didn't know that when this wind was going to blow, it's going to, you know, kick up so much dust and so much debris in my life. And sometimes it feels that I'm not making sense of everything. And I didn't ask for this wind. And I'm even paying my tithes. And still the wind is blowing. And so now we learn to adjust. And for every death, there is a resurrection. And then for every resurrection, there is an ascension, where you have to let things go. But before you can let it go, you go through this period where you have to do two things. The one thing is you have to grieve the old that's dying, and then you have to adjust to the new that is coming, which is kind of terrifying for all of us because we just hate the unknown. And in your life, you're going to have many phases where you're going to have to walk through the door of the unknown, where you just know, I don't know how this relationship is going to be. I know how the previous one was. But here's the thing. The next goal is not like the first one. And so every door is unknown. You go to a new church. It's an unknown experience. And you will get in trouble at that church if you try and compare it to the church where you come from, because no church is alike. Because no pastor is alike. Everybody's got their own fingerprint. But people get in trouble when they want to go into something new, but they want to cling to the old. You're only going to get in trouble. You're only going to mess up yourself. So between resurrection and ascension, there's this phase where you have to learn to grieve, to cry for what will never be again, and then begin to accept and grow into what to you right now is new and what is the unknown. And then there's ascension, where you have to just simply let it go. And it's only when we can really let stuff go that we enter Pentecost, where we can receive the Spirit, the empowerment for this new phase. We're going to walk through this. It's going to be an incredible series. I can promise you this. And everything that I'm going to tell you this morning is only intro. So the entire sermon this morning is intro, but it's going to bless your heart. We're going to look at five deaths during this series. We're going to look at the death of your youth. We're going to look at the death of your wholeness, where some part of your life gets fractured. And we have many people like that in this world. We have some people like that in our church. I'm one of them, where a certain part of my wholeness got fractured through certain events in life. We're going to look at the death of some dreams. Number four is the death of honeymoons. And number five is the death of a certain idea of God and church. And that's going to be a good one. But here's what I want you to understand about the Paschal mystery. It's not only about death, but it's also about resurrection. And it's a resurrection where after death you experience a new life that you receive in a new spirit for that new life. So not only, as I said, will you experience several deaths, but you will also experience several resurrections. And you will experience several Pentecosts in your life. Again, for all the people that come from a Pentecostal background, we all know the story in the book of Acts, you know, the disciples waiting in the upper room and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in our minds, in our framework, you know, when I say the word Pentecost, we only see it as a group experience or a social experience with some kind of connotation to it. What I want you to do during this series is just open up your mind a bit and allow the Holy Spirit to adjust your setting right there. And I want you to understand that you can have a personal Pentecost. That you can literally have a very personal, intimate, individual moment with God where you receive the Spirit for a phase of your life that you go into. It can be something new, a new adjustment that is needed, and it can be something new in your business. It can be something new relationship-wise. It can be something new in your relationship with God. It can be something new in your framework of thinking about stuff in your life. But at the end of the day, for every new phase that God ushers us into, we can only truly celebrate that phase once we had our Pentecost. And your Pentecost is nothing else but an empowerment of spirit that God gives you to really celebrate and live in that new phase that He has for you. The end result of people successfully going through these phases is that they live deeper and richer lives afterward. And here's what I mean by that. Just think of how many charities, how many non-profit organizations, how many foundations was established in this world and still happening as I speak that comes from tragedy. You know, somebody losing a relative or somebody or going through, terrible pain. Let's say it was some kind of sickness. I remember that many, many years ago, they made this movie. I watched this movie, Lorenzo's Oil. How many of you have seen this movie? Lorenzo's Oil. And I don't even know where the medical world is with that now, but it's about this couple that struggled with their child. And he was constantly almost dead, and the mother only persisted. It was a heavy burden on their finances and everything else that went with it. And eventually they had this breakthrough with oil. Just oil that was needed in his diet. The doctors couldn't figure it out. And so, I think it's a foundation, I don't know, that they started Lorenzo's Oil. It actually became a movie, Lorenzo's Oil. And so there are many foundations out there, many nonprofit organizations that started for young women, for abused children, for this kind of sickness, for that kind of calamity, for this kind of tragedy. And the only reason why these foundations are started is because the people that come through that calamity, the people that come through that tragedy or through that crisis, they allowed the completeness of the process to take place. And they eventually received the Spirit. They had their Pentecost, even though maybe they're not even Christian. Maybe they don't even understand how they tap into these things. But they received the Spirit, the empowerment to live a richer life and a deeper life after they've come through their pain. And now it's got deeper meaning for the rest of the world. You know, let me just quickly say this. The one thing that we're going to look at is death of age. You know, there are happy 70-year-olds, 70 people out there, and there are unhappy 70-year-olds out there. The only difference between the happy bunch and the unhappy bunch, because they basically the same age, is the 70-year-old who's happy. With conviction, he could die to when he was 40, to when he was 50, and to when he was 60. And with conviction, he could have his day of resurrection, where he could grieve the fact that I'll never be 60 ever again. And maybe he cried about it. And maybe he told his friends about it. And he went fishing with a buddy. And he said to a buddy, you know what? Growing old is not for sissies. And he's grieving the fact that he doesn't have the strength of when he was 40. He cannot play the games like when he was 40. He cannot do the long trips like when he was 40. So he's going through his grieving, but he's also adjusting. So he's not trying to be 40 while he's 70. He's embracing the fact that he's 70. He's adjusting. And eventually he comes to his place of ascension where he's saying, I can let all of this go. 69 years needs to ascend. I need to let it go. And then he finds his Pentecost. He finds his empowerment, his strength for a 70-year-old. And he wears it with honor. He wears it with grace and with dignity. The difference between him and the guy that didn't have his ascension and that didn't have his Pentecost is he is 70, but he's bitter. He's bitter at life. Cannot accept certain things. He doesn't grow old with grace and with dignity. He's fighting the process. He doesn't like this kind of death, but neither can he enter into resurrection. For as long as you fight death, you cannot be resurrected. And for as long as you fight ascension to let go of these things, the longer you postpone your Pentecost, and do you enter as a man with a brand new spirit in a brand new phase of your life. Is this making sense to you this morning? You're looking at me very funny. Okay. Let's go into this. So, Danny, you can just click with me on the screen. We're going to look at this. We're going to look at Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Good Friday is the loss of something, the death of something in your life. Easter Sunday is to receive new life or that new phase that you have to enter into. The third phase is the 40 days before ascension, the season where you adjust to the new and you grieve the old. Number four is ascension. And that's where you let go of the old and you let it bless you. You refuse to cling. And number five is Pentecost, where you receive the Spirit for that new life that you have. So, if we go to point number one again, just click. Here's the thing about number one, is you have to name your death. The question here is this. Are you living in denial? Are you fighting death? The death of something in your life? There is, in the psychological world, there is a term that they use where they term it sunk cost fallacy. Sunk cost fallacy is where people refuse to see something for what it is because they say to themselves, I've put in too much effort, too much money, and too much energy into this thing. Like there are many people that's holding on to sinking ships, whether it's a business, whether it's an enterprise, or some scheme that they had. And while all the family and all the friends say, hey man, you have to let this go, he keeps on going and he's holding on to a sinking ship for one reason and one reason only. He refuses death. He denies death. Some things in your life are going to die. Accept it. Some business ventures are going to die. Some friendships are going to die. There are things, the only constant in life is change. That's the only constant. I've got good news for you and I've got bad news for you. What do you want first? What do you want first? The bad news. Nothing is permanent. Here's the good news. Nothing is permanent. Have you named your death? Or are you still living in denial? Are you fighting what is dying? I've put too much effort into this relationship. I cannot just let him go. Baby, if it's dying, it's dying. No, how much effort you've put into it. No, I've put too much money into this venture. I can't just let it go. Count your losses. If it's got to die, it's got to die. Have you named your death? Are you refusing to accept it? Because you're simply postponing resurrection. You're simply postponing your own peace. You're simply postponing your own sanity and your own resurrection. If it cannot be allowed to die, it cannot be allowed to be resurrected. If you cannot allow your own heart and your own mind to go through the death process of something in your life, then also you're postponing your own resurrection as a new man and a new woman in the thing that God has for you. Number two, with Easter Sunday, you need to claim your birth. Because not only do you go through the phase of death, but you also go through the resurrection. And the question that I have for you, for those of you taking notes, can just write this down. Have I claimed my resurrection? This is where a lot of people get stuck. They only get stuck at death. And they go through life bitter. And they go through life feeling and thinking that life is unfair. And they sing the song of Lirika Rauch, Jy is te dierbaar. Home seer to cry. You know? And I know we're just making fun of this. These are hard topics, so I need to bring in some humor just to lessen the blow a little bit. But the point is, you have to claim your birth. The moment that you enter into a phase of death in your heart and in your mind, there is a resurrection that comes with that. So you don't have to go through life feeling that stuff only dies and that I only die about stuff that's ever changing. No, no, no. You go through life knowing that for every death, there's also a resurrection. There's also a new birth, a new life, a new vigor that comes with it. And that's why I say, for as long as you will postpone death, and not accept it and deny it, you're only postponing your own birth. Have you claimed your birth? Say to the person sitting next to you, have you claimed your birth? After Resurrection Sunday, you grieve what you have lost. Number three, you grieve and you adjust. I want to ask people the question this morning. Have you grieved your loss? Look, as people of faith, we struggle with this. Because faith says, we don't cry. We rebuke, we bind. No, 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 no. Real faith can cry. Real faith can cry. Real faith can really go into a season of grief. And I've seen in my life and in my years of working with people how people can mess up their own lives by not grieving and not grieving thoroughly. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3, there's a season for everything under the sun. There's a season to laugh. There's a season to cry. And when it's time to cry, you have to cry. And even if your mother told you, cowboys don't cry, you say to your mother, Mother, I love you with all of my heart, but there's one thing that you lied about. And when she asks you, what is that, baby? You say to her, cowboys do cry. This cowboy is crying. And you have to cry. Last week, Sunday, I shared with the congregation how earlier this year, I had such breakdowns in my car that I had to almost kind of put my fist in my mouth just to stop the sounds that's coming out. If you've never heard a grown man wail, thank God you were not in that car with me. It's kind of scary to see yourself there. But I can tell you this, if I never did that, I would have never walked towards the resurrection that God has for me. The faith, the fact that you cry about something does not mean that you don't have faith. That's exactly the point, that you do have faith. I can dare cry about it because my faith says there's resurrection behind every tear. As a man and a woman of faith, hear me today, you never cry for nothing. We always cry for something. Our tears are never in vain. Even in the psalmist said, he collected my tears. If you never cried, there was nothing that God could collect. We have to grieve. If you don't thoroughly grieve, you cannot move on. If you don't thoroughly grieve about your divorce, you will always struggle with the next relationship. To some of the ladies sitting here, you might be mad, but that's not the question. The question is, have you cried? Have you cried your heart out? And to all the men sitting here that went through some kind of loss in your life, have you grieved, or are you just pushing on and pushing on and pushing on and pushing on? Because, you know, men, you know, we just, we are tough. We have the muscles. We're going to fix the next thing. God made us fixers, you know, and we go for the next thing. And I also did that, and I also went for the next thing. But on my way to the next thing, I cry like a baby. And what do you cry about? You cry about death. You cry about some stuff that journeyed with you, and the next moment it changed. You didn't ask for it. And everybody says it's the devil, and the more you rebuke him, the worse it gets. And then you begin to realize it's not the devil. Maybe it's just life. And maybe it's just God as a life coach that's trying to journey with me through this thing. He's not going to rebuke me for my little faith. He's not going to rebuke me for my tears. He's not going to rebuke me for my grief. He knows it's necessary. He made me the way that I am. And he knows that that is where we find healing. But you have to grieve. The only way that you cannot get stuck in where you are in your loss or in your death is if you really grieve. And somebody might ask, for how long must I grieve? Until you're done. It's 40 days before ascension. I heard the story of a woman who grieved for 40 years. Her 40 days was 40 years. Some of you will grieve only for 40 minutes. But only because your stamina is greater than mine. Don't put pressure on me to also fix my stuff in 40 minutes. You deal with your stuff, I'll deal with mine. And if I cry for 3 months, don't tell me, hey, girlfriend, it's time to... Hey, girlfriend, you haven't been through what I've been through. Or, hey, girlfriend, you don't have my fingerprints. You don't handle stuff the way that I do. So I don't need a girlfriend going like this. I need a girlfriend that says to me, when you're coming out of this thing and you feel that you are fine, I'm going to be there for you. And while you are not fine, I'm still going to be there for you. So go through your thing. Cry your tears and grieve your grief. And we need to allow people around us, loved ones around us, to grieve the way that they grieve and not put any pressure on them. And I know it's not fun when you're sitting around and you don't see them in a good space, but they need that space. And if you want to chase them, if you want to hurdle them forward because you cannot handle their face anymore, then look away. But they need that. They need that. You have to grieve until you find, until you felt that I've cried now over this thing. Do you refuse to grieve because you are mad at God? Don't you grieve because you grew up with a philosophy that you should simply get over stuff? You know, just, you know, and we have this new saying nowadays, "Ach man, bou 'n bruggie en kom maar oor." Now, with some things are petty, you know. Some things are petty. With some things, you really have to build a bridge and just get over it. But other things are tough. You cannot just build a bridge. Some things are tough. Some things are tough in life. You cannot just build a bridge and get over it. There's a statement that says, unless we mourn properly our hurts and our losses and life's unfairness and our shattered dreams and all of the life we once had but has now passed us by. If unless we mourn properly those things, we will either live in unhealthy fantasies or increasing bitterness. And that's how it happens that people grow old bitter. And I know that we sometimes joke about this, you know, grumpy old men and, you know, grumpy old women. But these things are real. There's a reason why somebody is grumpy when they're 80. It's a reason that somebody is grumpy when they've been through some stuff in their lives. People respond from a place. But God doesn't want us to become bitter people through our calamities. He wants us to become better people through our calamities. And that's why I'm doing this series. Because believe it or not, hear me this morning. And I'm going to close with that. I still need to cover the last two points, but I'm not going to do that. We're going to stop here. Believe me or not this morning, you can be better after every trial in your life. You can. God has given us that ability. He's given us the ability to be enriched people. Even though when we went through death, we felt that we were robbed. But once you work through it and you look back, you realize, I actually gained. It's a mystery. It's the Paschal mystery. And I don't know how God figures this out, that you go through something and you feel like something is taken from you, but if you allow the process to work in your life and you get to the other side, you realize, but actually, I've benefited. There's something stronger about me now. There's something wiser about me now. There's something richer about me now. I don't know how God does that by allowing us to go through something bad and then we work the process and then we find ourselves in a phase where we say it's all good. I don't know. I don't know how God works that out. But He's got a way of working it out. I want you to stand with me. Don't live in unhealthy fantasy. Don't live in increasing bitterness. And this is not about being a victim. It's not about you giving up. It's not about you rolling over and just say to life, it happened to me. This is about trust. This entire process is about trust. And it's this trust that while you don't really know what's going on, and you find yourself in uncharted waters in your life, that you trust that there is a plan working behind the scenes and that you will be better and not bitter. This thing is about trust. So I heard the story of this man who visited his dad in hospital. And his dad was on his deathbed, dying of cancer. And every day he saw his dad just holding on. And the one day he walked in and he just couldn't handle the suffering anymore. And he said to him these words, why don't you just let go and trust God whatever happens after this? And so his dad did. A couple of hours later, he passed away. And there was peace on his face. Isn't that what life is all about? That we find the strength, that we find the trust to just let go and trust God what happens after it. Not trying to predict with our faith what need to happen. Not trying to predict with our confessions what we want to happen. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a time and a place for that. But there's also a time and a place where I say to God, you know, God, if it's time for death, no confession, no belief system, no yelling, no binding, no rebuking. If it's time for death, I only have to do one thing. I have to trust that if I can let this thing go, I'm going to be fine because you are my God. I want you to close your eyes. As you close your eyes, I want to send you home with these three questions today. Everybody's in a different phase in their lives. The first question is this: have you named your death? What is the thing in your life that you feel you're trying to hold on to it, but you just can't any longer? Have you named your death? Can you really surrender the expanse of your life to God today and say to him, Lord, I want to keep everything as it always was. But that's not life. That's living in fear. I'm living in a prison to try to control everything. It's a prison. I don't want to live like this, where I have to monitor and manage every single thing in my life. Why can't I just release? Why can't I just say, okay, if death needs to work in this thing, that's freedom. Then the pressure is off me. The stress is off my faith to want to try and prove to everybody and to myself or to ever who's not even looking, Lord, here it is. Have you named your death? The second question for somebody here today, have you claimed your birth? Some of you went through a death phase at some point in your life. Have you claimed your birth? Have you claimed the resurrection that comes, the hello that greets you after goodbye? Have you found your hello? And sometimes people don't find their resurrection. They don't tap into their birth because they don't even know that they can lay claim to a birth. Are you claiming your birth? Have you claimed it? And the third question that I have for you this morning, have you grieved? And have you adjusted? Some of you are in the grieving phase. Your faith says you're allowed to do that. And your faith says, now I'm going to help you adjust to the new season. These are uncharted waters. It is the unknown. It's everything you hate about life because we like it predictable. But faith says, I will help you adjust to the new friendships. I will help you adjust to the new job environment. I will help you adjust to the new faces that's about to be introduced into your life. I will help you adjust to the new routine that is coming to your calendar. I'm going to help you. Father God, I pray for every man, every woman, under the sound of my voice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those listening by podcast, I bless you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with resurrection. I bless you with betterness and not bitterness. I bless you with a faith that says, I trust the process. I trust the God who brought me into this is the God who will also take me out of this. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ with your resurrection. Lord, for those of us in this building who are in the phase where we are grieving, I want to thank you that you collect every tear and that you are with them as they cry. And that you heal them as they cry. And as that they find closure as they cry. That they with conviction can say goodbye to what they cry about. Find strength in their tears. Let understanding come as they grieve in Jesus' name. Some of us are crying about something in my own personal life. Others of us, we are crying about our father or our mother or somebody that's sitting overseas or a friend that is lying in hospital and they give him or her no hope. Whatever that grief is, God is with you. He's working, He's planning your grief. He's working, He's planning your death. He's working His plan in your resurrection. Don't underestimate the process. Trust the process. Pentecost is coming. Will you just raise your hands and say, Lord, I receive what you want me to receive from this series. What you want me to receive this morning, help me to receive it in Jesus' name. Even if there's some kind of resistance still in your heart, that's fine. God understands us. Just say to Him, Lord, I receive. I want to receive. Help me to receive this word, this word that's coming into my life in this season, in this phase of my life. Help me receive. Help me receive this process by grace. Help me receive the whisper of your Holy Spirit even in my pain. Help me receive. Help me receive the instruction that you have for me. Help me receive the comfort that you have for me. Help me receive the wisdom that is coming my way as I'm trying to figure out what's going on, left, right, up or down. Thank you, Lord, that you help me receive, make sense of what's going on. And even if I cannot make sense of what's going on, let there just be a simple trust. Just a simple trust that even if I cannot control what is happening, I can trust that I will be just fine. I bless you with the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I bless you with the joy of the Holy Spirit, which is your strength. I bless you with the protection and the ministry of God's holy and beautiful angels. I bless your land with multiple harvests and your hands with fruitful work. I bless your life with significance and success and momentum and acceleration. I bless you to be an incredible Christian and a pillar of great strength and hope for God's end time church, especially this church. Now may the grace of God, the love of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this week until we see each other next week, Sunday, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen.